me, what's wrong with the car?
Uh-oh, I think it's broke.
Look, that thing there is all smoked up.
We got a pair of pliers and a screwdriver. We can find out.
I think we should just start poking stuff.
Oh, all right. Don't do that, folks. Tune into the Grease Gurus. Don't go to the emergency room. Go to the Grease Gurus and learn why your car might have stopped on the side of the road and what not to touch.
On Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Ouch, that hurt!
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
This is Les Kiter awaiting the Le Mans start and the Nassau Trophy race. And there they go. Bruce McLaren very quickly across the track and into his car. The field is off. The Essex Wire Cobra lays rubber. Let's ride a while with Bob Johnson up the Simonette straight. The pack through the SO bend, leading Bob Bondurant's Lola, Chris Amon in the GTX, and car number 26, the Lola T70 of John Fulk. McLaren through Windsor Way, a high speed bend. Chaparrals of Hap Sharp and Jim Hall moving up. Bob Johnson's 7-liter Cobra follows down the Emerald Beach Pass. He trails Jim Hall's Chaparral, which has overtaken a slower car. Pilot House Corner, showing a trail of blue smoke. Bondurant, in second, is losing ground to Sharp. McLaren is all alone down the pit straight. The first lap finds this order. McLaren, Bondurant, and Sharp. Bruce leads by 30 seconds over the Lola. Bondurant in the pace center is holding off Sharp nicely. Prototype McLaren is still showing smoke from the exhaust. Perhaps an early warning of trouble. Through Pilot House Corner, the Chaparrals box in John Fulk. Jim Hall trailing in fifth. Sharp closes the gap on Bondurant. Erase the record book. The Chaparral and Hap Sharp have done it again. Victory Lane follows the checkered flag in just one moment.
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. Set the Wayback Machine. We enter the Wayback and we're immediately hurtled back through time and space.
Hi, I'm Bob Bondurant. I won the World Manufacturers Championship in Ford Cobras in 1965. And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Okay, listeners, welcome. You're tuned in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and I'm your show host, Robert. Run to your computers and Google TanTalk1340.com, and you can see us live here in the studios in downtown Clearwater. Don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com, where you can find out all about us. And if you've missed any of our shows, don't forget to check out our archive page, Nostalgic Radio and Cars, where you can listen to all 418 shows. Good evening, Vaughn. How are you doing this evening?
I'm pretty good, Robert. How are you doing yourself?
Pretty good. Hanging in there. Sounds like you had a pretty good vacation while you were gone a week, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Got some sun. Got to see some family. Those are good times.
Those are good times. Absolutely. And, hey, again, I'm going to bring this up because Bobby brought it up last week. We are now on YouTube, right? We're YouTube Live. So, again, I'm going to wave to everybody out there because it's kind of a new thing for me. I'm not really a techie kind of guy, but I think it's kind of good. I think it gives us a little extra exposure, and I think people enjoy it. Although we're just sitting in a studio, I mean, I would love to have cameras and videos and all kinds of cool stuff on the back here, but hey, it'll work. Like a friend of mine calls it, radio is theater of the mind. So my job as a show host is to try to build excitement, and through my narration and my talking, hopefully you can picture what I am talking about and what I've seen and what I'm trying to convey to you. Now, hey, real quickly, if you want to find out about all the car shows and all the stuff going on in the state of Florida, it's still summer, so you know, car season is just around the corner for all us Florida people here, because it still is a little warm, it's a little humid, and it's still a little drippy wet out there. But if you want to find out where all the car shows are, check out floridacarshows.com, flacarshows.com. You can find out where all the car events are in the state of Florida, north, south, east, west. They're all over the place. Definitely check that out. But we are continuing our tradition and our feature for this for the month of August, and that is Monterey Motorsports Madness. Now, I'm not so keen on the word madness, but you know what? If you've ever been to Monterey, and I talk about this all the time, it is probably the most spectacular, most amazing car event, period. There's no other way to describe it, because there's just so much going on. I mean, it's everything that you can imagine all at one part of the planet, and probably the most beautiful part of the planet, truly God's country, which is the Monterey Peninsula in Northern California. And I'm proud to say that that's exactly the area that I kind of grew up in. So I'm really, really looking forward to being out there. And it's for me, it's home away from home. And it's just a gorgeous area. But you've got racing, you've got car shows, you've got auctions, you've got some spectacular car shows. And we have a couple guests coming on this evening for you, and they are involved with the premier events. In fact, two of the events are probably my two favorite events, and that is the McCall events. They're absolutely outstanding. I don't think any event compares with these, because they are very unique in their own way. And having said that, all the events out there are very special. You have the Porsche Works Reunion. And of course, it's the 70th anniversary of the Porsche. Okay, you've got the Legends of the Autobahn, which is other German cars. You know, you got Audis, Mercedes, BMW. You have Concorso Italiano. We had Tom McDowell on from last week. And the Concorso Italiano is a spectacular event dedicated primarily to Italian cars, solely Italian cars, as in the case with Legends of the Autobahn, German cars, and the Porsche event. Okay, then you've got the Carmel Mission Classic. That is really, really spectacular. That's Wednesday. And the Bishop comes out and blesses the cars. Okay, so the Bishop is kind of in the cars. The McCall events, they have the McCall Motorworks Revival, a spectacular, probably the foremost jetport party ever. Probably the biggest names and sponsors, literally Gulfstream jets will show up there. Some amazing race cars, amazing classics, and the personalities are absolutely outstanding. On Thursday, they have the Tour d'Elegance, which is the cars that are at the actual Pebble Beach Concourse on Sunday. They make a drive down the 17-mile drive, a little further south along Bixby Bridge, turn around, come back, and they make a two-hour pit stop in downtown Carmel on Ocean Ave, and people get to view the most spectacular cars in the world, very rare cars, Duesenbergs, Auburns, Isottos, Bugattis, Ferraris, Maseratis, Porsches, Cobras. If you can think of it, if they made it, chances are, and it could be turn of the century car, and it could be cars up through the early 60s, and just amazing array of cars. But here's an opportunity for people, just they're parked openly in the street. You just walk around, you look. In fact, there's so many people there, it's really, really hard to even take a picture. But the cars are amazing. There's a few hundred cars that show up there. It's incredible. And then on Friday is the Quail, a motorsports gathering. That is probably one of the most amazing events. I mean, it has everything. It has spectacular cars. It has amazing food. It has amazing personalities. It has amazing vendors. It's a beautiful setting over in the Quail Lodge. Just absolutely incredible. That is probably one of the premier events during the whole week. And it's limited to a certain amount of people. I mean, I think there's 3,000 people that are eligible to buy tickets. But it is an event of events. It is one of those events that has everything. And the best of the best is there, including some of the cars that will be featured on Sunday's Pièce de Résistance, the Pebble Beach Concourse, which has been going on since 1950, probably the premier concourse in the country. Now, we have a very special guest coming on in a few minutes. So I think what we're going to do real quick here is we're going to fire up the stereo, since we're moving up in the world. We're moving away from transistor radios and AM radios and record players to the infancy of the stereo and, wow, the 4-track, the 8-track. Remember those 8-tracks? I still have some of those left over because I actually still have an old Pioneer Super Tuner that I think I had probably back in the day. So, hey, you're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with our special guest.
Hey, the Red Rocker Sammy Hagar here, and you are listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Woo! Good God! Woo!
Okay, we're back, and you're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and it's time to introduce our special guest for the evening. I'm delighted to welcome back this gentleman. He's a friend of mine. He's also an alumni guest, and he is the founder of the two most spectacular events during the Monterey Collector Car Week, and that's the McCall's Motor Works Revival and the Quail, a motorsports gathering. I'm delighted to welcome back Gordon McCall. Gordon, how are you?
Doing great, Robert. Thanks for having me back on.
I look forward to it, and I keep promising you we're going to do this. We're going to get you on for the motorcycle event. I always somehow that just kind of like goes right past me, but we're going to definitely do that. But tell us about what's going on this year, because you have an exciting show, and there's a number of anniversaries: the 70th anniversary of Porsche, the 50th anniversary of the ESO, 50th anniversary of Hot Wheels, if you're into Hot Wheels, and believe it or not, 50 years of Subaru. So what do you guys got going on at the Quail this year?
Well, you know, Robert, there are a lot of anniversaries. We can't celebrate them all. We try to hit on a few. You know, we try to go down a little bit of an eclectic path.
Right, right.
Maybe not quite the obvious. And so, obviously, it is the 70th year of Porsche in general. Mm-hmm. But specifically, we're honoring 70 years of the iconic 356.
Excellent.
So it's not to say that we won't have other Porsche models there, but we've got quite a large group of 356s coming, and it's really fun to see the evolution of that particular model of Porsche. And to complement that, we're also having, we're calling it the Alois Roof Reunion.
Oh.
Roof is, you know, it's funny, Singer's getting an awful lot of attention, deservedly so, with their reimagined 911s that they're building these days. They are phenomenal cars, but you know, the guy that really paved the way was Alois Roof, who's been building modified, the Porsche name does not appear on those cars, but he obviously starts with a Porsche. But we've got a big group of roof cars coming. You know, kind of an unloved mark, and no longer, though. The cat's out of the bag. We've got a class, we're calling it the Great Launches.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, for years, launches were, for some reason, viewed as somewhat of a stepchild of Ferrari and Maserati, et cetera. But when you look now at the popularity of, say, a B24 or really a Spider, those are seven-figure cars now. The B20 coupe is viewed. It was the first V6 production car. It was way ahead of its day. A lot of A-list collectors have them now. There was even one that was a high-profile subject of a kind of an outlaw treatment, which was on the cover of every major car magazine a couple of years ago. And so we're going to honor the great launches, as well as the 50th anniversary of the Lamborghini Espada and the Islero.
Everybody
thinks of Lamborghini, you think of Miras, you think of, you know, the new Aventadors, et cetera. But the Espada and the Islero were very, very interesting cars, and it's their 50th anniversary. So lots going on.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the Lancia, and because I've always been a fan of the Fulvias, the little front-wheel drive sports car, the competition version of, or competitor to the Alfa Romeo GTV. But there was an article recently that you contributed to, and one of the cars that you were picked was, let's see if I pronounce this right, Aurelia, is that my pronouncing it right?
Aurelia, yep.
Yes.
Yep, exactly. You know, quite a car. I mean, very, very advanced. If you look at the detail work, Robert, on those cars, the accoutrements, the switch gear, the mechanical innovation, it's really stunning. And what's happened now is people finally figured that out. So they're no longer inexpensive, but they're tremendous. And there's a couple of really nice ones coming to auction during Car Week next week. So it should be a lot of fun.
Interesting. The some of the personalities that are going to be there at the Quail, who would they be this year? Now, a couple of years ago, he had Glickenhaus on it, and actually he brought one of his sports cars, right, his homemade car.
And Jim is coming back. He's it's a debut of his new street-legal car. I believe he wants to go after an overall win at Le Mans.
Okay.
And, you know, Jim wants to be, and you got to hand it to Jim. He does, and I've known him for a long time, he does what he says he's going to do. He is very independent, very speaks his mind, but backs it up. Completely. Yeah, when you look at the cars that he's created and the Scuderia Cameron Glickenhaus car that he's got going now, you know, he's competing against the world over in Europe with those cars. And he wants to be the first true American built by an American car to win its class at Le Mans. That's his target now. So we'll have Jim there. And, you know, it's an amazing mix, Robert, of people at the Quail. It's become you know, a social event as well as a car show, you know, and I don't say that with any, you know, there's no tint on that. It's just, there's a lot of Hollywood folks there. There's, you know, a lot of known car collectors, the Jerry Seinfelds of the world, Jay Leno, et cetera, et cetera. The Quail has a wonderful atmosphere that promotes a relaxed approach to things. You know, people are there having a good time. You know, it's, I know years ago I coined a phrase, it was like going to a five-star restaurant and having a car show breakout. That's kind of what happens. You know, we like to recognize the significance of the Pebble Beach Concours by really eliminating the whole judging process. You know, our event is judged by the entrance of the show themselves. They judge amongst themselves. Obviously, they can't vote for their own car. But, you know, if you want to get your car judged against the 100-point system with a panel of experts in the world, go to a show like Pebble, because that's where you'll find out where your car rates. We tend to curate the cars on the front end and just offer a very eclectic group of about 235 cars, some of which you will have never seen before. It's just an exciting day. It's got a lot of relaxing components to it as well, with the amazing food that's put together by the Peninsula Signature Events Group. It's incredible. It really is. I have to admit it.
Well, that's what I've seen earlier. It's probably the most, I guess, And I don't know if this is the right word, but comprehensive. I mean, everything is there. You can stay there, and you don't have to leave. Everything's there. The people there, the car there, the food's there, the atmosphere's there, everything, the ambiance. I mean, it's one of a kind. It's an incredible event, and it's something you can be really proud of, because you created that.
Well, you know, thank you. I appreciate that. It's an amazing team that puts this show together, and it's a year-round team. As I mentioned, the Peninsula Signature Events team at the Quail Lodge and Golf Club. It's what they do all year long. You know, they produce the motorcycle show and this wonderful car show. And to show you how difficult it is, Robert, to pull this off, after 16 years, there is no other show of its kind that does an all-inclusive ticket that literally, you know, eat your way through the day, drink your way through the day. Just, you know, once you're on the property, you are a valued VIP guest of Quail Lodge and Golf Club and the Peninsula Signature Events. And it's, you know, you don't have to worry about how much the burgers are going to cost, or actually there are no burgers there. It's all very fine dining on China, by the way. It's incredible.
Well, all I can tell you, it's an event, and we look forward to it every year, and we think it's spectacular. The Jetport party, The McCall Motor Works Revival. Tell us a little bit about what you have planned for that this year.
Well, you know, this is really where the idea came to me for the Quail was essentially out of my my Jet Center event. You know, I've been doing that now. This will mark our 27th year. We have an event that has been knocked off across the country. I have to say there probably isn't a major car show now just about anywhere that doesn't have a welcoming party in a hangar. And I'm flattered by that because it's all kind of measured against what we do here in August in Monterey. So it really keeps us wanting to elevate our game every year. We're very proud of what we do. And, you know, the Quail kind of came out 16 years ago, came out of the idea of maybe there's a way to do a daytime version of something along these lines. And so here we are 27 years later, and we've just got some amazing stuff coming, Robert. Gulfstream's been a long-term partner for many, many years, over 20. They're bringing two of their latest, greatest Gulfstream jets. We've got Embraer back on board. They're bringing three Pilatus. We've got the folks at Textron, which is Cessna, showing off their latest wares. Really incredible lineup of aircraft. And quite frankly, that's what makes us different is the fact that this is, you know, we didn't really realize it at the time, but we pioneered the concept of integrating aircraft and cars together and celebrating them. You know, it's the people that are interested in both are basically the same person. And so along with lots of car companies, and we go crazy with the food and wine there as well. It's a pretty over-the-top experience.
The last year you had, and there's always a number of really cool classics as well as the vintage airplanes, if you want to elaborate on those a little bit. But there was one car that caught my eye that I thought was cool, and it was also at the Quail, and that was Jim Busby's Ferrari. Somebody, he took a Ferrari 400. Yeah. If you want to go ahead and elaborate on it, because you're probably friends with him and you probably know a little bit more about that car, but I was impressed with that. To me, that caught my eye.
You know, Jim Busby is, for anybody that doesn't know the Busby name, just look him up. Jim Busby is an amazing man. He had an incredible career racing cars and building cars. He is a dear friend, as you mentioned, Robert. And what Jim did is he had a little medical scare and spent a fair amount of time in the hospital. Well, during his recovery, I think there might have been some Demerol involved. He was cruising eBay. And Jim found a 400i Ferrari. Talk about the unloved Ferrari. It's definitely, the 400i was one of those cars that just, you know, really, really was a kind of an answer to a question no one had about a Ferrari sedan as such, even though it was a two-door, it had a back seat. He had a vision of turning one into an incredible, essentially a GTO version, a grand touring version of a 400i, and that car's online as well. It's stunning. It's fly yellow with an incredible competition motor, and they did a lot of aesthetics to the body to add, you know, a lot of detail to it. It's very sinister looking, low to the ground, huge chromador wheels, tires, just really pretty cool car, and it goes. So it was quite a build, and, you know, we have stuff like that there. You know, that's what's fun about the Jet Center. It's very eclectic, and the same thing's happening this year. I've got lots of really unusual stuff coming to the event. It's going to be fun, including, as you mentioned, vintage aircraft. We've got a Lockheed Lodestar coming, a DC-3, T-51 Mustang, Howard 500. There's only two of those planes flying. You know, that the Howard 500 in its day was considered the Gulfstream G650, you know, really extravagant 40s-era twin-engine airplane. So, good stuff.
What are some of the car manufacturers that are going to be there on display if people were looking? Obviously you're going to have some Ferraris there, but last year you had, I'm trying to think, what was there? There was something else was right in the front there, because I know Bob Bondurant there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bob's coming back with Pat. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary of the school, which I went back to in the end of May. It turns out they were thumbing through some records and had discovered I had gone through that school 40-plus years ago.
Really?
When it was at Sears Point. It's where I got my racing license, and they invited me back, and I went through their Hellcat course, performance driving course. And the Bondurant School really is a great place to either hone your skills or learn a few or whatever. It's pretty impressive. And, you know, Bob is an icon. He really is. And so speaking of Bob, we've got a long-term great relationship with the folks at Toyota Motorsports. So we've got I wanted to make sure that Monterey Car Week did not come and go without honoring our dear friend Dan Gurney, who sadly passed in January, right? I mean, Dan Gurney was, in my view, kind of the last of a breed and just a true gentleman who just epitomized everything about American racing and success and you name it. So Toyota's bringing a couple of their cars that Dan had built, Dan's shop, All American Racers, had built for Toyota that won championships. There were more than a couple, but they're bringing one of the GTP cars, the AAR GTP car, as well as the Trans Am Championship car. And we're going to honor Dan there. And Dan's son, Justin, is coming to join us. His other son, Alex, unfortunately, Alex is actually, they're filming a documentary on Dan, and Alex is playing his dad.
Oh, wow.
Pretty neat. He actually looks a lot like Dan and very competent, successful championship race car driver as well. So we've got Toyota there. We've got Volkswagen's there. We've got McLaren there. There's a company called Genovation, which is producing in the new body style Corvette. They're producing an electrified version of the Corvette, very performance related. And speaking of performance, John Hennessy will be bringing his new F5 prototype, which is fascinating. We've got Porsche there. Gosh, who else is there? There's lots of kind of bespoke U.S. specialties, creates these wild, I call them urban assault vehicles, for lack of a better word, where they really trick out an SUV. That's a very popular segment. Our friends at WeatherTech are bringing their race team and the race transporter, all kinds of fun stuff.
Wow, that's incredible. What have you been working on lately, and what's new in your stable?
You know, it's funny. So you were talking about anniversaries earlier,
right?
And one of the anniversaries, it's finally these cars are getting some recognition. But the Datsun 510 turns 50 years old this year.
Oh,
and a car that's getting more recognition than that, of course, is the BMW 2002, which was, you know, an incredible German-built economy sedan in its day. What's interesting about the 510, and the reason why I kind of lean that way, the 510 was my first car when I was 16. What was going on at that period of time, and I'm talking about the mid-70s, a gentleman named Peter Brock was dominating the under 2.5-liter Trans Am series with his BRE racing team with John Morton and their Datsun 510s. So kind of the unloved Japanese economy car was killing BMW, Alfa Romeo, you go down the list, Volvo, all the other two-door sedans that were racing in that series. BRE actually put the series out of business, and they did it as well with their Datsun 240Z. So the 240Z is, I always wanted a 240Z when I had my 510 when I was a kid. I did a lot of modifying to my 510 and always had my eyes on a Z, but they were always a little out of reach. Well, I've added one of those lately, and, just fun stuff, fun old motorcycles and old cars. So they're all fun, aren't they?
It's a great, great addiction, wouldn't you say? If you want to call it that, it's a great hobby.
Absolutely. You know, it could be worse, right?
It could be worse. So if people want to find out more about the McCall events, where do they go, Gordon?
Real easy. Just McCallEvents.com. We've got tickets available to the event. We always like to trickle out a few leading up to the event so that late planners can still attend what we do. We limit our capacity there at 3,000, and we have since the year 2000. So it's a strict cutoff. We learned many years ago that's an absolute perfect amount of people to service properly. And unfortunately, if you haven't made arrangements to attend the Quail, you won't be able to this year because that event sells out well in advance. And same thing goes on out there. It's a limited capacity event, and it is sold out. So you'll have to look for the results online.
Okay. Well, super. Well, Gordon, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show again. Look forward to seeing you out there, and the best of luck, and keep up, keep doing it, because what you're doing works, and it's just an amazing event, set of events that you do. So
awesome, Robert. Really, really appreciate it. We've we did add one little ring to our two ring circus. We're having a Jesse Alexander, who was probably the most preeminent black and white automotive photographer in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, really?
We've got an exhibition of Jesse's work that'll be going on for 2 weeks at the Center for Photographic Art in downtown Carmel. It's Jesse's last exhibition. He's 89 years old, and he did announce a couple of years ago that he was finished with public exhibitions, but I talked him into one last go during Car Week, and so that's happening at the Sunset Center for the two-week period of time. For anybody that's in Carmel or on the peninsula during that time, go check out the Center for Photographic Art, which is actually a place that Ansel Adams started and is still in the same building. So a lot of photographic history there, and Jesse's work is phenomenal. You would recognize it immediately, the wonderful photographs of Phil Hill and Sterling Moss.
Oh, my.
Fun stuff.
Look forward to seeing that. All right, Gordon.
All right.
Gordon, you take care.
Thank you, Robert.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Hey, I want to thank my special guest, Gordon McCall. McCall Events, the most amazing events during the weeks leading up to Pebble Beach, the Concours. Hey, we're going to go to a little bit of a commercial break here real quick. We'll be right back, and we'll have our next guest on for you. So don't touch that dial. I think you got something on spinning around on the radio, right? Are we going to do a commercial? Let's do a radio. We got commercials? I guess we're going to go to the corner. All right. Hey, we're going to toss it up in the air. We're going to do something. We're going to do some commercials. Then we'll come back with a song. Then we'll come back with our little spiel, and we'll introduce our guests. Hey, you're tuning to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Hey, listeners. This is Robert from Nostalgic Radio and Cars. We all love to eat. Well, I would like to tell you about my friends at the Rib Shack Barbecue on West Bay Drive in downtown Largo. Their menu offers family-sized takeout dinners like delicious ribs, chicken, beef, and pork, or sit-down barbecue dinners, sandwiches, and even desserts. They will also cater your party. Everything is barbecued fresh using real oak for that great smoky flavor. So visit my friend Corey at the Rib Shack Barbecue in downtown Largo, West Bay Drive, or call them for a takeout order at 727-501-9090. That's 727-501-9090. They truly have the best smoking barbecue in town. Oh, and be sure and check out their great barbecue sauce. That's the Rib Shack Barbecue in downtown Largo, 727-501-9090. I'm telling Robert from Nostalgic Radio and Cars sent you.
Looking for car shows? Then look no further than flacarshows.com. On your computer or on your mobile device, flacarshows.com is a comprehensive list of automotive events, plus videos and news articles. Whether you're looking for car shows, cruise-ins, meetups, automotive festivals, cars and coffees, or anything else relating to an internal combustion engine, then this is a site for you. Check it out online or on your phone at flacarshows.com.
Stages in the sport. But each August, the famed 18th fairway at Pebble Beach becomes the stage for beauty of a very different sort. The most breathtaking and historic automobiles in the world, each vying for top honors at the world's premier collector car showcase. Since 1950, the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance has evolved into an unmatched celebration of automotive design and craftsmanship. It is also a fierce competition, as some 200 collector vehicles are judged on the basis of historical accuracy, technical merit, and that most elusive but unmistakable quality, style. To one of these 200-plus hand-picked entries will go the most prestigious award in the collector car world, the title of Best in Show. In addition, this year Pebble Beach will spotlight the cars of Isotta Fraschini, Coachwork by Castagna, and American Dream Rides of the 1960s. as well as the 70th anniversary of the world's most famous automotive brand, Ferrari. Live from California's Monterey Peninsula, welcome to the 2017 edition of the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance.
Hi, this is Nick Mason from Pink Floyd, and you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Okay, we're back, and you're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. It's time to introduce our next special guest for the evening. This gentleman is a member of the selection committee. Yes, one of the guys that picks some of the really cool cars that show up on the show field at the prestigious Pebble Beach. He is also one of the MCs and announcer there. I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening, Nick Waller. Nick, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you? How's life on the East Coast there in Florida?
Well, lately we've been dodging some raindrops, but let me tell you something. It doesn't compare to California. And you have the most beautiful weather there. And truly, I'm actually from there, so I know. And
okay.
So I can boast about it. But Florida's cool. It is, you know. And, of course, the only event that we have that's comparable to what you guys have or close would be Amelia Island, and that's generally in March, and the weather's usually pretty good that time of year. But tell us about Pebble Beach. What's going on this year? Now, I just played the clip from 2017
yeah.
With Bob Varsha. And, of course, Bob's a friend of mine, and he's also been on our show a number of times. And the little liner there from Nick Mason, which was actually done at Pebble Beach about 3-4 years ago when he was there with his Ferrari.
I heard him. I know Nick very well. He's a great friend, and you were also playing Money.
Now, Money, yes. Well, at the time, that was the, I think it might have been the 50th anniversary of the album. Yeah, right. I can't remember which one it was. Dark Side of the Moon, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nick will be coming to Pebble this year.
Okay.
He's one of our honorary judges.
Oh, excellent.
A group of great designers and industry leaders from the world of motor cars. But it's going to be a fabulous, fabulous year this year. We've got some wonderful featured marks and special classes. We have 211 cars, I think, in total going to be on the field, all competing for best of show. And, you know, as ever, I just can't wait. It's it takes all year to put it all together. Lots of hard work by a wonderful team here. And then the day comes. It starts very early in the morning with Dawn Patrol. And it ends far too soon. The day just goes by so quickly.
Let me ask you this. I have to know, and I'm sure my listeners want to know. So it takes roughly a year to put on this event. So the assemblance and looking at the cars, selecting the cars, take us through the process a little bit.
Well, we invite applications from anybody who owns a car they think that it's worthy of Pebble Beach. And, you know, we are talking of the Oscars, if you like, of the car world.
Mm-hmm.
It is the very best cars in the world will be competing at Pebble Beach. We get over 1,000 applications. And every car that is that applies is a great car in its own right. But I'm very lucky to be a part of a 12-man selection committee. We meet once or twice a year. We review all the applications, and then our hard job, our just incredible task, is to get that down to a manageable 200. So we are always looking ahead. We plan the special classes a year or two ahead. That then we invite applications for those. But of course we have standard classes as well, the antique, the American classics, the post-war touring classes, the race classes, the open wheel classes. All of those are standard every year. We are just blessed with so many people who are so keen to bring their cars here, and without the owners, we don't have a show. So we are incredibly pleased to have all of these wonderful people here.
Now, when you say it's a 12-man committee, so are mm-hmm. you broken up in groups? Do you have a specific car, a class that you select, or do all 12 people, kind of like 12 jurors, vote on each car as they come across? I mean, how does that work?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Everybody on the committee has if you like, a specialization or an era that they perhaps prefer. I'm a sucker for post-war racing, post-war touring cars, so I tend to look at oversee the post-war classes. But what is incredible is that of the 1,000 cars that apply, very few are unknown to us. And we come mostly, most of the committee are from the United States. I'm from the UK, you probably can guess. We have people from Denmark, from Canada, and from all over, and Germany. And it is very unusual for a car to be considered that we don't know, or at least we don't, and very often we know the owner and we know the car itself. There are one or two people on the committee who've actually owned a lot of them as well. So, you know, it's such a small world. We like to think we choose the best. I think we do, but it's a hard job.
Let me ask you this. Now, what other event, and I mean this sincerely, because Pebble Beach is kind of like, that's the creme de la creme. Is there anything in Europe that compares to Pebble Beach? I mean, in other words, because what people don't realize is that the whole, and I'm not sure if that's how it started, but to get an award, to have your car judged and to win a class, or even be lucky enough and fortunate enough to win best of class, creates provenance with these cars.
Yes, it does.
So where I'm going with this is that if you win at Amelia Island, extremely prestigious. If you win at Pebble, extremely prestigious. St. John's is probably the other one in the United States, I think, that carries a lot of clout and a lot of weight. You know, and it's probably those three are the three premier top concourse in the country. Yep. How do we rank against Europe? And you're from there, so you know had good word. You've got the one in France. There's one in Italy that I'm aware of.
Yeah. The European Concours are extremely good. They're great events, wonderful to be there. They get great cars. But there are the key difference, I believe sincerely, that it's down to the judging. If you win at Pebble Beach, you have been judged fairly by the best in the world.
Okay.
So you go to pretty well any other event. I seriously believe this. You go to any other event in the world, and there are events in Japan, France, London, England, all over, Italy. It's the judging isn't perhaps quite as thorough as we make it. We are very, very lucky that we have 140-plus judges at Pebble Beach who have thousands of years of experience in this hobby of ours. And I think it's really generally accepted that if you, as you say, if you win an award at Pebble Beach, you've won the best. No question. That's what sets us apart, I believe.
Okay. Now, tell us about some of the other events that are taking place that Pebble Beach is involved with. You know, give us let's assume I was there and this is my first time. What would you recommend I see and I do?
Well, I first of all, I would get here on the Monday or the Tuesday before, and I would enjoy the whole of Pebble Beach Week.
Okay.
Lots of events going on. We have the first event is really the Tour d'Elegance on the Thursday. That's a drive for all of the Concours entrants that leaves the forest at Pebble Beach at 8 o'clock in the morning. They assemble at the crack of dawn. At 6:30, there are cars starting to arrive. It's a fabulous time of the day. They then set off on an 80-mile drive through the forest, up into the hills, then back down the coast road to Big Sur, where they turn around, then come back, and we all park in Carmel itself on Ocean Avenue for a lunch. And the cars are all paraded there and are available for the public to come and see on the Sunday lunchtime. A great day. Cars are meant to be driven, and that's what we're there for. Then also happening throughout from Thursday through to Saturday is the Pebble Beach Forum over at Spanish Bay, one of the other hotels that are part of the Pebble Beach company. And we started this a few years ago. The Forum is attached to Retro Auto, which is where we have some wonderful vendors displaying posters, displaying tools, displaying petrol pumps, everything that you want to buy in our hobby, every collectible that's available will be at Retro Auto. But alongside, as I say, the Forum, where we have some wonderful speakers and some wonderful discussions from Thursday through to Saturday. And go onto the website, and you'll see some links to that. But it never stops. You know, Thursday, Friday, we have some launches and some events on the property at up the hill on Peterhay Hill from up the hill from the lodge. And then Saturday, the new cars, if you like, the cars that will be part of the Concours in the future, start to arrive. And we have about 25 cars on the concept lawn. They start to arrive on the Saturday. This year, we're hosting 9 world debuts and 7 North American debuts of new cars. So it's a big, big deal, not only in the old car world, but in the future and the modern cars as well.
Now, last year they had, it was the 70th anniversary of Ferrari, so you had like a special field off to the left there on the way down to the fairway,
yep.
Which was dedicated to an amazing array of Ferraris, I might add.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. And like you said, when you come down between the lodge and the other complex there, you have that giant green there, which is basically where you have all the concept cars
yeah.
on display. Now, this year being the 70th anniversary of Porsche, are you going to do a similar display for Porsche like they did for Ferrari last year?
No, we're not there.
Really?
No, Porsche will be here.
Okay.
But in fact, the Ferrari will be back on the first fairway again. They've organized a fabulous display again, which will be on show throughout Sunday.
Well, it is the 50th anniversary of the Fiat Dino, or excuse me, Ferrari Dino, Freudian slip there, the Ferrari Dino, which is the first mid-engine car. It was actually introduced, I think, at the Geneva Auto Show in 67, but it wasn't officially on the market until 1968, so it was 246 or 206 maybe the first ones were. So that
206 then went into the 246.
Right.
We have a very, very original 246 Dino in, funnily enough, one of the preservation classes, in the post-war preservation class this year. It's an incredibly original car, just wonderful.
Last year you had some iconic cars from custom builders, like from Gene Winfield was there, by the way, and I talked to him for a few minutes. Dean Jeffries' cars, there were some Daryl Starberg cars there, and they were out on the back lawn there, kind of like on the other side where the motorcycles are. Are you going to have any special featured cars out there this year?
Big time. Amazingly, it's Tucker time.
Oh.
It's the 70th anniversary. I'm trying to do my math. Yes, it is the 70th anniversary of the Tucker 48.
Wow.
And we have a baker's dozen. 13 Tuckers will be assembled on the Concours field, plus others on Peterhay Hill. It will be one of the largest, probably the largest collection of Tuckers that's ever come together.
Ew.
That is going to be fascinating. I mean, obviously, you know, the Tucker was such a revolutionary car in its time.
Mm-hmm.
We've got everything from the prototype chassis, the bare chassis, through to the prototype sedan. These were amazingly advanced cars for the time. It's such a shame that they were so short-lived. But that's what makes them so interesting and rare. Alongside, we've got the other car that was breaking new ground coming from France. And again, it's a mark that we haven't featured at Pebble Beach before. The Citroën DS, launched in 1955 with hydropneumatic suspension. Everything was working off hydraulics. What an advanced motor car. And beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. It was very futuristic. That swoopy curve of the roofline. So we're featuring the Citroën DS with some coach-built cars. And as I say, we've never featured Citroën as a mark before, but we thought it was about time.
Very interesting, very interesting. That's true. And they're coming of age. Like you said, the DS21
yeah.
or the DS19 and all those.
Yeah.
Those were very interesting cars, including the lovable little Deux-Chevaux.
Well, yes, the Deux-Chevaux. It's probably about, what is that, 100 years old now? I don't know.
Close to it.
It was close. That was built as one of the first people's cars. And didn't they say that one of its features was that you could drive across a plowed field with a crate of eggs and no eggs would be broken? It has this amazing suspension.
Something like that, yes.
Something like that. Very French.
Oh, yeah. One more car that the French built, the Citroën, and that's, what is it called, the Traction Avant?
Well, that's right. And the DS was the...
The successor to that
came
car.
The successor right. to the Traction Avant. But, you know, Citroën were breaking ground with every car they built. Such an incredibly interesting company.
Now, you know, it's amazing because I think today, and we only have a few minutes left, but I think today Citroën is tied in with Renault and somebody else, aren't they? They kind of like consolidated, kind of like Fiat did in Italy.
PSA, yeah, Peugeot,
yeah.
And Renault, I think, they're all together.
Oh, that reminds me. Peugeot will probably be a car that you'll have in the show field down the road because Peugeot actually has a racing heritage from back in the day.
Yes, they did, absolutely. In fact, again... we're featuring a Peugeot in one of the pre-war classics, it's the Dalmat, which was a very interesting car again. Built, I think this was 1937, I believe. They raced at Le Mans in period, and then off the back of the racing, they built a number of road cars. They're very typically French, typically swoopy. Very, very attractive cars. We've got a lovely example in one of the classes.
Wow.
The other featured class that I cannot wait to see are the Oscars, the little 1100cc, 1300cc Oscar MT4s.
Oh, Oscar, yes.
Built by the Maserati brothers.
Right, exactly.
After Maserati brothers sold out just before the war in 1939, they started up again under another name, Oscar, to build absolutely immaculate little sports cars that won all over the place. They won at Pebble Beach. They won at Sebring, very famously, in 1954. We have the car that won the 12 Hours of Sebring there, driven by Stirling Moss. We have the first ever Oscar built all the way through to the very last. And again, the biggest collection of Oscars ever put together. We have 20% of the total production.
Wow,
quite remarkable.
That's incredible.
So I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, Nick, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. We're up against the clock, but one more thing, too. I believe, and we had Denise McCluggage was on our show many, many years ago, and I believe she raced one of those in vintage, so she was a big fan. And,
absolutely did.
And my guess is Mr. Orsi will be there walking around because he's got ties with the Maserati family. But at any rate, I want to, again, thank you very much. I look forward to meeting you next week. Thank you very much. I want to thank my very special guest this evening, Nick Waller with Pebble Beach. And Gordon McCall with McCall Events. And look forward to seeing both you guys. You guys got some of the most spectacular events taking place during the Monterey Collector Car Week. Be sure and Google Monterey Collector Car Week. You'll find out all about it. Don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com. You can find out all about it. And don't forget to follow us on some of our social media. I hope to see some of you guys at some of these car shows. Be sure and put Monterey on your bucket list. This is one event that you have to go to because anything and everything that you can imagine is automotive related, including the personalities, will be there. In the meantime, stay safe, drive carefully, and love your family.
I don't mean to be telling tales out of school, but there's a fella in there who'll pay you $10 if you sing into his can.
Downtown Dave.
I'm not here to make a record, you dumb cracker. They broadcast me out on the radio.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.